Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Father, in the name of Jesus, create a clean heart in me. And God, renew a steadfast spirit within me in the name of Jesus. Lord, do what only you can do. God, cleanse me and make me whole. Amen? Amen, amen. All right. The heart is one of many spiritual illustrations that God has given us to understand him. It's not mere coincidence that in the Bible that has over 1,000 scriptures about the heart. And there's a lot of things that we say about the heart. One of my favorite scriptures about the heart is the Bible says in Proverbs 20, says, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Here are some other things that we say that might not be in the Bible per se, but these are things that you and I say about our heart. I love you with my whole heart. Every woman wants to hear their husband tell them that I love you with my whole heart, not just a part of me. Every husband wants their wife to love them with their whole heart. It's then we have this other saying. I'm going to give you a few of these. Deep down in my heart, I know it's true. Right? Deep down in my heart. Well, be careful, you know, because sometimes you don't know it's true. But deep down in my heart. Then we say this. He's got a big heart. He's got a heart as big as the wide open. Or he's got a heart as big as Texas. Or maybe we say this. Hopefully, if you don't say this, by the end of the service, you will. We say, Jesus lives in my heart. That's what I want for you. All right, how about this one? And man, this is in where we're living at, it broke my heart. Where we're living at, man, our hearts have been broken from time and time again. It just broke my heart when I saw what was happening. It broke my heart when I heard what was happening. It broke my heart to know that it was happening, whatever the case may be. And then here's another one. My heart tells me to go for it. Or how about this one? It grabbed me right in the heart. How about this one? Cross my heart. Oh, this is my favorite, especially if you're Southern. Bless your heart. Because everybody knows what bless your heart means. Bless your heart means that I can say whatever I want to because I just said bless your heart, so it really don't mean it. Bless its heart. Bless your heart. That's an ugly little baby. Bless your heart. We can just say whatever we want to, you know? So it doesn't make it better. We just think that bless his heart. Look at it. Bless his heart. That's what some of y'all say to me about me right now. Look at him. Bless his heart. That's all right. How about this one? Bless my heart. And then there's another one. Don't go chasing my heart. But every day, now listen to these statistics. I'm going to give you some statistics here. That every day your heart beats about 100,000 times, sending 2,000 gallons of blood surging through your body. That's crazy, isn't it? Although your heart is no bigger than your fist, your heart has the mighty job of keeping blood flowing through around 60,000 miles of blood vessels that feed your organs and your tissues. That just boggles my mind. Since the average person, adult, heart beats 72 times a minute, that means 100,000 times a day, 3,600,000 times a year, and 2.5 billion times during a lifetime. A kitchen faucet, to give you some perspective, a kitchen faucet would need to be turned on full blast for at least 45 years to equal the amount of heart or amount of blood that's pumped by the heart in an average lifetime. Think about that. Turn it wide open for 45 years And at the end of 45 years, it will have pumped enough water to equal the amount of your heart pumping blood in your lifetime. During an average lifetime, the heart will beat nearly or pump nearly 1.5 million gallons of blood, enough to fill 200 train tank cars. Every day, the heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. In a lifetime, that is equivalent to the moon and back. Now, that's some statistics right there. But we also recognize that many times in the Bible, excuse me, I got something in my throat, it's not Rona. many times, though, we know that heart and soul are interchangeable in the Bible. That when you talk about your soul and your heart, many times they're interchangeable. And there are many things that you could do in order to have a good, what they call heart health. You know, we see the Cheerios and we see the commercials that they want us to have good heart health. And I try to go every year. I'm a little lacking right now, but I try to go every year for a physical. But it's just like going to the mechanic shop. They find more stuff than you want them to find. And so, especially us men, we don't like to go. Because did you know your sugar was high? I didn't ask you for that. I don't want to know those things. But it's good for us. But every time that I would go to my doctor, is he would tell me that he would say, "How's your heart doing?" And I'd go, "Well, I'm fine in my heart. I know I'm good. Jesus is in my heart. He's living there." But I'm amazed that he would tell me five things that I need to make sure that my physical heart is in line with. And you can overlay that with a spiritual application. Because I'm amazed at how each of these five things give us an incredible spiritual lesson on how to keep our heart or our soul in tune with God. Here's what he would say, he would say, "All right, I'm going to give you five things, preacher, five things to make sure that you're keeping your heart." And that's what I'm going to give you this morning. I'm going to give you five things. Number one, he would say, control your blood pressure or lower your blood pressure. Lower your blood pressure. Control your blood pressure. And I would ask him, "Well, how do I lower my blood pressure?" And one of the recommendations was before he knew me, he said, "Do you have a high stress job?" "Yes." "If I don't do my job, people go to hell." "Yes, I have a high stress job." It wouldn't be stressful if I didn't care, but I care greatly. But blood pressure is measured by two things: the contraction and the relaxation of the heart. And some people don't know how to relax. The annual doctor says, "Hey, what do you do to relax?" And he would ask me, "What do you do to get away from it?" I would say, "What is it?" He would say, "What do you do to get away from the pressure? What do you do to get away from the stress?" And so I would tell him the things that I do. And since I've been doing that about 8 years ago, I started riding my Harley. That really relaxes me. I get out on the Harley and I get on those back roads where I don't have to keep my head on a swivel. And I just ride my Harley and it relaxes me. And I literally feel my blood pressure coming down as I ride those back roads. And so he would say this to me, though. He would say, "You need to get away from it every once in a while." And what that really means is you need to live in a place of peace. That's what that means. See, the problem is, all right, some of y'all are going to cut me off after this one. Here we go. Because here's the deal. You need to teach your children disappointment at an early age. And I don't mean going out of your way to disappoint them. But you need to teach them how to handle disappointment at a young age so that when they get older and they're disappointed, that they don't just wig out. That's because that we've got people who don't know how to handle failure and don't know how to handle disappointment. Man, you got to learn to be at peace in the middle of chaos. that you've got to learn that if Jesus is your peace, here's what he said. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not the peace of the world, but my peace I leave with you. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So from time to time, when I feel my pressure getting up, I got to remember to live in that place of peace. I've got to remember that I need to make sure that God is in control, that I got to make sure that God is my peace, that I got to make sure that my mind is on him. Isaiah 20, the same scripture in the New Living Translation says this, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So if my eyes are fixed on him and my heart is fixed on him, I can't help but to live in a place of peace. And I love this one, John 14:26. But the helper, oh, come on, the helper, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all the things that I have said. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not the world gives you, but I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let you be afraid. Let me just tell you, and I understand that we are a Pentecostal church and we believe in speaking in tongues and all of that, and some of that freaks some of you out, but it's for real and you need it. You need the Holy Ghost. But right now, just ask the Holy, if you're saved, man, ask the Holy Spirit, just feel me. I don't have to lay hands on you. He has the power to lay hands on you, and he can feel you right where you're at. He can feel you in your living room, man, and you can be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And because that's what, when I get stressed out, I just pray in the Spirit, man. And I get alone and I just pray, and the Holy Spirit brings the peace or calms me and causes me to have peace. Now, here's some of the problems. Let me ask you this before I go to the next one. How many of you know what I'm talking about? When you get peace down in your gut, when you get a peace down in your gut. There are two nervous systems that form during the fetal development. Now, I thought this was fascinating. I learned this about 8 years ago, but I thought this was fascinating. Two nervous systems form during the fetal development. Now, we all know the one nervous system, but there's another one. Early in the embryonic platform, a collection of tissue called the neural crest appears and divides during fetal development. And one part turns into the central nervous system. Now, all of us know about the central nervous system. Those are the nerve endings that go out to our extremities and so forth and so on and all throughout our body. But that's one of them. But one part turns into the central nervous system, and the other migrates to become the enteric nervous system. And the enteric nervous system has extensive two-way connections with the central nervous system and works in concert with the central nervous system to control, are you ready, your digestive system in the context of local and whole body physiological demands. So it, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you get so nervous that you get an upset stomach. You get nervous, or your stomach is in knots. How many of you heard that? Or there's something. You get so nervous that you either throw up or you have another area. But we understand that your nervous, your enteric nervous system, it works in conjunction with your central nervous system to control all of that. And some of our problems in our gut is caused because of problems or living not at peace. We need to learn how to live at peace. And the only way you're going to learn to live at peace in a chaotic, fallen world is to step into the peace that Jesus left you, which is the peace that comes from God. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is recognize that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings you peace. Now, because of its extent, talking about the enteric nervous system of the autonomy, the enteric nervous system has been referred to as the second brain. Both thinking machines formed simultaneously and independently of one another until a later stage of development. Then the two nervous systems are linked through a neural cable called the vagus nerve or the vagus nerve, and the longest of all cranial nerves. This is the brain-gut connection. Dr. Michael Gershon, professor of anatomy and cell biology in Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center in New York City, described the body's second nervous system in his book, The Second Brain. Now, the brain is not the only place that the body's has full of neurotransmitters. 100 million neurotransmitters line the length of your gut, approximately the same number that is found in the brain. The connection between the brain lies at the heart of many woes, at the heart of physical and psychiatric ailments like anxiety and depression and irritable bowel syndrome and ulcers and Parkinson's disease and manifest symptoms at the brain and at the gut. So sometimes, you know, when you find something just don't feel right, I sense something in the spirit, there's something going on and you feel it down in here, sometimes you need to listen to that brain. You need to listen to that gut, because the Holy Spirit, where does he live? The Holy Spirit doesn't live in your brain. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, lives here in your heart. He lives here in your soul. So you need to pay attention when the Holy Spirit is trying to guide you and when the Holy Spirit is trying to warn you. Pay attention to that gut feeling. Here's what the Bible says. John chapter 7 verse 38. He says, he that believes on me, as the scripture says, not as mama said, not as this one said, but as scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Greek word there means the whole belly cavity, the whole gut. What I'm telling you is, when you work the scriptures the way it's supposed to be worked, when you live for Jesus, when you live clean, when you doing what God's called you to do, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. My mind might be in a fog, but out of my belly shall flow the Holy Ghost, shall flow the Spirit of the living God, and cause a peace that surpasses understanding in my life. That's why I can still shout when everything is not going right. That's why I can still praise when everything is not going my way, because out of my belly shall flow rivers of living water. So he says to me, lower your blood pressure. Second thing he'll tell you, he told me, lower your cholesterol. Now, I don't like to hear that, because I'm a meatitarian. I'm a carnivore. I like it. The definition of cholesterol is a waxy substance found in your body that is needed to produce hormones. See, some of y'all's problem is you ain't eat enough meat. I'm just kidding. Don't write me anything. Cholesterol is important for protecting nerves for the structure of cells. The spiritual lesson here is, lowering your cholesterol is finding the balance. See, you need cholesterol, but not too much. You need some, and in the spirit realm, you need the spirit, but you need the word. You need the word, but you also need the spirit. The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. You know, if all you've got is word, you become haughty and puffed up. But if all you got is spirit, then you become flaky. You become, well, can't nobody understand what you're saying, because you're all, whoo. No, baby, you need balance in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to help the Word of God get inside of you and to rightly divide it, but you also need the Word of God. And you need the Spirit of God to rightly divide the Word. It works in conjunction, just like cholesterol does. You got good cholesterol, you got bad cholesterol. They got to work together. There are some things in your life that are not always right or wrong. Woo! There are some things that you just got to stay in balance for you to be spiritually balanced. And man, we've got so many Christians that are out of whack. Look at your neighbor and tell them, ask them, are you out of whack? I know you're talking to your family, because you know if they whacked or not. You know if they are out of whack or not. Some people just need to be whack. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I'm just saying that they're out of whack because they're out of balance. See, you are body, soul, and spirit. Your body and soul must find balance with your spirit. You know, you can't just go pray all day long in the spirit because you got to go to work. You can't do that, man. You can't just fast all the time because your body needs substance. You've got to find that balance. And it's that way. You know, if you ask me the philosophy of life, the philosophy of ministry, I will always tell you that it is balance. Because you got to be balanced in your marriage, balanced in your... Listen, if all you do is do for your children, but you don't ever do for your spouse, you're out of balance. If all you do is everything for your spouse, but nothing for your children, you're out of balance. You need to have balance. God wants you to be balanced, and that's the spiritual lesson we hear from, that we get from this cholesterol deal. See, your body and soul got to find balance with the spirit. Some things are not all or nothing. I don't know if you heard me. My God, somebody throw a towel at the TV. I'm preaching right now. Not everything is, some things are not all or nothing. Many things are good for you in moderation. Do you know that sugar is good for you in moderation? There are a lot of things, but we abuse those things. I know I do, because I want to eat ice cream every day. Ice cream and cake. I want to do that every day, but I know I can't do that. I know I'm going to need broccoli. I know I'm going to need greens. I know I'm going to need all those things. And the only reason I eat those things is because I know that I need them. Not everything that I eat is fun. Matter of fact, exercising, I don't do enough of it. But, you know, hey, I was going to the gym, but I hadn't been to the gym in quite a while. But the only reason I do that, not because I enjoy it, it's because I want to live longer. Because I want to be able to enjoy life. And some of you are not enjoying life. You're not enjoying your spiritual life because your cholesterol, your spiritual cholesterol is out of whack. Because you're out of whack in one area or the other. And you wonder, you look at other Christians, you look at some people who are enjoying their life, and you're like, why can't I do that? Because you're out of balance. You got to make sure you're in balance. Many things are good for you in moderation. How many knows, if you don't sleep, you're going to die. Or you're going to kill somebody. Sleep is good for you, but not 17 hours a day. Fun is good, but you got to do some other things. Food, music, intimacy, relationships, cleanliness, emotional work. The key is balance. Point number three is this. Get enough exercise. Oh, I hate that word. This is one of the ones I hate the most. Get enough exercise. In order to fully oxygenate the body, stretch our muscles, and be healthy, we must exercise. For the spiritual health, you have to exercise your spiritual gifts. See, some of your gifts, man, are laying dormant. Some of your gifts is just like what the doctor says, you need to get exercise. You need to, if you don't use it, you lose it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't use it, you lose it. So you need to exercise your spiritual gift. What are you doing in the kingdom? Well, I'm taking up space. Well, that's not enough. What are you, and especially if you've been serving God any length of time. What are you doing in the kingdom? There is some area where you have a gift that you can use. When we get back into in-person services and we go back to a normal schedule, we have a focus track at 9 o'clock every Sunday in the glass room that you can go and find your spiritual gift, and let's see if we can exercise that. I didn't say, we're not talking about what's that word? Exorcism of your gift. We want to exercise your gift. I didn't have no help up in here. But you need to understand that. Can I tell you? You have to stretch and grow in the areas where God has anointed you, or you will not have a healthy heart. Some of you are disgusted. Some of you are disappointed because you're not using your gift. And you got to use your gift in order to be healthy. Can I tell you that laughter and stretching are the two least expensive ways to add 10 years to your life. Man, if you're always walking around like a somebody who could suck BBs off the ground without ever bending over because your face is so long, you need to find some joy. How many ever met Christians that man, they're just no fun, they're no joy, they're always serious? How many of you are sitting next to one on the couch right now? Bump them or elbow them something and tell them you ought to laugh a little bit more. Enjoy life. I'm going to heaven and I look like I'm going to heaven as I go. I'm not going to have to live through hell trying to get to heaven. That ain't what God called me to do. He said I can have life and I can have it more abundantly because God died on the cross for my sin and he came that I may have life and I may have it more abundantly. Proverbs 17:22 says, merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Man, I plan on overdosing on medicine. I will laugh at you and I will laugh with you. It don't matter. I like to laugh. I love to laugh. Health experts now have proof that laughter is good medicine. A good belly laugh can send, let's check this out. Google it. A good belly laugh can send 20% more blood flowing through your entire body. I'm not talking about a chuckle. No, a good belly laugh, man. When you just break out laughing, learn to laugh at yourself. Quit taking everything so seriously. Quit picking fights with everybody. Quit trying to make everybody else's trouble your trouble. Quit doing that. One study found that when people watch a funny movie, their blood flow increases. That's why laughter might just be the perfect antidote to stress. Number four, eat right. Oh, I don't like that one either. Matter of fact, I don't like any of these. Eat right. Because everybody knows garbage in, say it with me, garbage out. If you don't eat right, if you don't fuel your body, you know, listen, on my Harley, I remember Pastor Steve, who was our executive pastor, he had bought a Harley, and he was a first-time Harley owner, and he would put gas in his Harley. And he said, man, my bike always backfires. I said, man, you can't put that cheap stuff in there. This is a fine machine. You got to put the expensive 93-octane in there. And he began to do that. He goes, you know, Pastor, he says, my bike hasn't backfired since I started using that fuel. Can I tell you that some of your bodies are backlashing on you? Some of your spirit is backlashing on you because you ain't eating right. You ain't eating right. You got to eat right, man. What you put in your physical body will either make you healthy or make you toxic. And what you put in your spiritual body will either make you healthy or make you toxic. You know, you won't give God, you won't give your body a healthy dose every day of the Word of God or the Spirit of God or spending time with God, but you'll spend time with Fox News and call yourself a Christian and wonder why you're not healthy. You'll spend all day with CNN and wonder why you're not healthy. You'll spend all your time with negative people and wonder why you're not healthy. You got to put the right things in your spirit in order for you to be whom God called you to be. Man, quit pecking around with a bunch of chickens in the yard when God's called you to be an eagle. Fly, baby, fly. But recognize that you got to, your body, your spirit, it is a fine old machine once it's right in the hands of God. Because life is going to fill your heart with questions. The Bible calls the Word of God bread. Man, you need bread. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said to them, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You need the Word of God. It's bread. It's good for you. Matter of fact, and then 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is called bread. It's also called milk. And in Hebrews 5:13, it's called strong meat. You need the Word of God. And then in Matthew 13:22, when we hear the Word, we bear fruit. Man, when you are When you are healthy in your spirit, you can't help but to bear fruit. If a tree is healthy, it can't help but to bear fruit. And if you are healthy in your spirit, you can't help but to bear fruit. When people look at you, they ought to see fruit hanging all off of you. I'm not talking about a fruitcake. I'm talking about spiritual fruit. I like this. Oil of the word, the seed of the word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Hallelujah. Man, let's eat right. Let's get a good dose of the ghost, man, a good dose of the word of God. Point number five, and I'm done. Here's what he always says, lower your salt. Lower your salt. Now let me give you a scripture. Mark chapter 9, verse 49 says, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace with one another. Giving away your grace is salt. Is the only way to keep your heart healthy. To lower your salt, give people grace. The way that to lower your salt intake, give it away, man. Give your grace away. Give grace. You know, when people need grace, people desire grace. I need 18-wheeler loads of grace coming to my life on a daily basis because I need grace in my life. And giving away your salt, giving away your grace is the only way to keep your heart healthy. Here's what Colossians 4 and 6 says. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Man, I wish I did that all the time. Sometimes I speak and it's not with salt, but I want it to be seasoned with grace. I want it to be seasoned with grace. I need my spiritual heart to be healthy. I need my spirit to be healthy. So I'm going to lower my blood pressure, and I'm going to lower my cholesterol, and I'm going to eat the right things. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to get enough exercise. I'm going to eat right, and then I'm going to lower my salt by giving people grace. You know, one of the things I love about this church, and hey, is it okay if I take off my jacket? Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for letting me do that. One of the things that I love about CRCOG, so we're a people of grace. We're a people of grace. And maybe why we are people of grace is because we need grace. Why we are people of grace is because we need grace. And thank God that we have the grace of God. So let's give it away. You know, I've told this story so many times. People would go, if I come in to the church, bring that music down just a little bit there. If I come into the church, it might fall down. It won't. Because we're people of grace. So right where you are, if you don't know Jesus, maybe your heart, your spiritual heart, your soul is not healthy today. Why don't you start the process? You know, some of us don't change because we see the light. Most of us only change when we feel the heat. 9 years ago, I lost my brother. And when I hardly ever go to the doctor. I'm pretty healthy. Or at least I thought, because nobody ever told me I was different. But when my brother passed away at 58 years old, I thought, I better get checkups. Did some things that were unpleasant, but got my health back on. Lost about 40 pounds. I gained 20 back. But anyway, I'm still a good 20. But I started to get myself healthy. And that's where this sermon came from, is I was getting myself healthy. And the Lord said, make sure that your spirit is healthy. Because some of, listen, if you get offended on this, it's because of you. But some of you are health nuts, but not spirit nuts. Some of you are all about your body, but not about your spirit. And your body, I don't care how hard you work at it, man. Gravity's going to take over. I'm sorry. I was looking yesterday in the mirror and my eyes are puffy and starting to look my age. Don't you say amen on there. I'll come to where your house. But I'm starting to look my age in them. But I want to live a long and prosperous life. And I want you to too. So if you don't know Jesus, man, that's where you get on the track of health. Right where you're at. Don't be embarrassed. You might be sitting by your spouse. Don't be embarrassed. Or maybe you want to do it together. But just pray a simple prayer. According to Romans 10:9, if we ask Jesus to forgive us, if we believe that he died on the cross for our sins and confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, he said we shall be saved. So right now, would you just pray this little prayer? Heavenly Father, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I want to be spiritually healthy so that I can blaze a trail for my family, for my children, for my grandchildren. Come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me whole and healthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher, it can't be that easy. It is if you meant the prayer. It's that simple if you truly meant it. Now, if you just said the words or say the words, then no, it's not. You've got to believe in your heart, then you shall be saved. I hope that you gave your heart to Christ, or maybe you wasn't where you needed to be and rededicated your life. If you did, would you send us an email, a focus card, something? Let us know that you did that. We're so thankful for that. And let me pray over you, Father. I pray over everybody who hears this live and who hears it later, that we would work on getting our life not just back on track, but a good track, so that we may be healthy and whole. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.